Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on Basketball Show. We used to do this with Richard Lucas, but now I do it myself, and I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, and we're here every Wednesday night at 10 p.m., and I love doing the show. It's all about basketball. No question about it. Basketball is a big-time sport worldwide, and we're glad that we could talk about it on the radio here on Blog Talk Radio. And as I always say, if you can't listen live, this show is podcast forever. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and then punch in Gregory Crawford on Basketball, and every single show that we've ever done is right there. And you can also follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. But tonight, it's, of course, the second Wednesday of each month, and that means we bring on the outstanding men's basketball coach at George Fox University, a member of the Northwest Conference. George Fox is located in beautiful Newburgh, Oregon, and the person we talk to every second Wednesday of the month is Mako Hamilton. And Mako, good evening. How is your beautiful spring, summer going? And nice to have you on again.
Good evening, Greg. I'm doing very well. Enjoying the wonderful weather we've been getting. And, yeah, it's been great so far.
Yeah, it has been. And as we all know, as great as it's been, it won't be long now, Mako, right?
Yeah, no, that's for sure. It'll move quick. That's why we gotta enjoy it every minute we can.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you do when you want to kind of decompress away from basketball? And for people that have never coached, or, you know, I mean, I refereed high school basketball for 25 years on a high level, and all the way driving home, I kind of replayed almost every call in that game, actually. And when you're involved in basketball, as Mako knows, it's hard to get away from it. But what do you do when you want to decompress?
Well, that's probably part of my problem, Greg, is I don't decompress very well. It's something that's pretty much on my mind 24/7. But you know, I have two young kids and obviously a wife, and so being with my family, especially this time of year when you know, when the kids are home, the days are a little bit longer. Just being able to interact with them is a great escape. Definitely kind of gets my mind off of things for a certain amount of time. But I have to be very candid in saying there's not a day that goes by where, you know, I'm not thinking doing something related to the game of basketball, you know, just in the preparation of my team and our program. So that's the nature of the job, but that's why I do it. I love it, and it's a passion.
Yeah, and in fairness, if you're any good at any job, and you're very good at your job, there's very little time that you don't think about it. It's just a fact of life in today's age, and of course your family, your faith, everything else comes first, but you still have to think about your job.
Yeah, no question. I think that's a challenge for a lot of people who are successful at whatever they do is, in order to achieve great things, you have to be committed to it, put time into it. But there's also a thing called balance, and that's so critical as well, being able to prioritize and just to have balance in life. That's, you know, where usually the most healthy people are. And so that's a challenge for a lot of coaches, including myself, and it's a challenge for a lot of professionals in any endeavor.
How about looking ahead? And we've talked about it last month, but looking ahead to 16-17, I was kind of looking over your roster as much as I could and looking at things. You got to be pretty pleased with what might be ahead of you. But as I always say, paper's only good to write on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, we're absolutely excited about where our program is headed. I've mentioned it numerous times, but we were, extremely young team this year with no seniors. this past season. And so, obviously, the natural progression is to think that, you know, with all of our guys coming back and how young they were, we'll get better. But I agree with you, though. I mean, that's only on paper. That's only in theory. You know, the reality of it is our guys have to work to get better. They're not going to gain strength, you know, sitting around. They're not going to develop basketball IQ by not being dialed into it, and they're not going to develop their skills by doing nothing, you know. So they're going to have to be very committed. You know, they have been in the off season. Now they're home, you know, for the summer, and they're going to have to continue that. And if they do that, then I really do believe we'll come back and be, you know, taking that next step in our progress.
You know, speaking of the off season, Mako, you know, I know you like to have many impressions you leave with your student athletes as they go home and come back, or some stick around. But is there one paramount thing you want to leave with them as they leave for summer? And many of them are going to work on their game, or they're going to work at a job, or they're going to go to school. But what's the one thing you want to have ingrained in their mind as they, before they come back for next year?
It's habits. You know, I think the time, you know, in the summer, the off season, it's a great time to either develop or continue to build upon good habits you've established in school, or it's an opportunity to develop or create bad habits that now you're going to have to try to fix when you get back, and it sets you back. And so I think that's the one big theme for us, because, you know, I mentioned it before, I think I even said this on your show last time we talked, you know, obviously we want our guys working extremely hard this off season, you know, getting stronger, you know, developing and or continuing to enhance their skill level. I also talked to you about, you know, wanting them to have time just to be with their family and friends and be able to decompress from the lengthy school year. But all those things, you know, within all those things, you have to create good habits. And that's the thing that we really stressed to our young men as they headed home, is, you know, the things that you do in this off season, when you get back to school, they're gonna stay with you. And so if that's waking up every day at noon because you went to bed every day at 3 a.m. and, you know, you're working out off and on, you're not spending time with loved ones, then those bad habits are going to come back to school, and you're probably going to be in a worse position you were when you left. So that's the big theme that we really kind of tried to hammer home with our guys this year.
Yeah, very well said. One of my great friends in the basketball world is Coach Rod Barnes down at Cal State Bakersfield. And, you know, I just was talking to him yesterday, and I asked him what he thought. They had a great season this last year, went to the NCAA tournament, upset New Mexico State in the championship game of the WAC. And I asked him what he thought was the key, and he says the key was we won a couple games in February that were actually won because we worked so hard the previous August. So it just goes to what you're saying. Winter games can be won during the summer.
Yep, there's no question about that. You know, I think it's kind of a misconception. You know, you always look at kids and, you know, shoot, probably coaches do too. We look ahead, oh, it's July, you know, the season doesn't start till November. But when the season gets here, there's not a whole lot of time to be able to work on the things that you can do in the off season. You're doing a lot more preparation stuff and scheme development and things like that. So this is the time to get yourself into the position to where you can be consistently at your best. And that's why the off season is so, so important in sports.
Mako, switching gears just briefly on the same subject of coaching, you know, this is something we've talked about, and I know it factually. The Northwest Conference coaches, all nine of the men's coaches, are just terrific basketball coaches. And they're somewhat of a close-knit group. They haven't changed in a while, for the most part. And is there anything that you that our listeners might be interested, that all nine of you kind of agree on, that you'd like to see in this coming season that you've talked about? Or maybe there might not be anything, but I think it's a fair question.
Yeah. Boy, Greg, we I think we have pretty, across the board, I think we're pretty, you know, united in a lot of things, but I don't know if we ever completely agree on stuff, you know, from, you know, whether it be scheduling, you know, time of games, shoot, whatever the case may be. There are usually one or two of us that may stray from the pack. So, but with that said, I think we all have a mutual respect for each other. So whatever decision is ultimately made on whatever the topic might be, you know, we all conform to it, and we move on with our best foot forward.
Well, I guess I'll throw one thing out that I think all of you can agree on. I think the league is so good. It's so well coached. The players are so good and such great people off the court. I think that the league needs to be marketed better. And, you know, that's not throwing anybody under the bus. But that's just saying, you know, there should be more things like we're doing right here in the programs I do with 7 out of the 9 coaches or assistant coaches. And I just hope that the league will be marketed better because the basketball is terrific on the men and women's side both.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that you know, that sentiment there. And, you know, you're absolutely a huge you know, ambassador for our conference, and it is. It's a great conference, and, you know, that's the nature sometimes of small college athletics is it kind of flies under the radar in terms of the visibility. But like you said, I mean, there's great basketball that's being played. There's terrific coaches, you know, outstanding players, you know, it's an exciting brand. And at the end of the day, it's college basketball, and seeing, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old guys compete, give their best effort for their schools, for their families. You know, it's a great thing. So, so well said. And, you know, I'm sure I can speak for all the coaches in our conference, but we really appreciate, you know, your commitment to what we're doing, and that's a great thing.
Well, thank you for that. I'm going to keep going, but obviously I'm a pretty – most people that get to know me, I'm a very humble person, so it's about you guys and getting the word out about you guys. I'm just here to steer the ship so it doesn't run into the fog. But, you know, speaking of steering the ship, Mick, I'd like for you to address this because it's pretty fascinating. And I don't think we talked about it before. If we did, I apologize. But, you know, the most decorated Olympic athlete of all time is Michael Phelps, the swimmer. He's won more gold medals. He's done it over a long period of time. His coach just came out with the 3 keys to be successful. And most people, 1 out of 1,000 people could probably name his coach. But I thought it was pretty terrific, and it applies to all levels of sports, business, the custodian, you name it. It could apply to anything, but it was a mental preparedness, a vision, and practice. And I think definitely all three of those relate to the great game of basketball and coaching and players.
Oh, there's no question about it. I think, yeah, those are outstanding characteristics that he outlined. And it's about having a plan, you know, obviously putting it into play. But I think the second key there, you know, the visualization piece is super important, and it's something that I think is missed on a lot of athletes these days. And you know, there's a lot of research behind the success that people have when they use visualization techniques. And it's just the ability to put yourself in a situation before it happens. And it really helps with muscle memory. It helps with confidence. And so I think that's an extremely great thing that he shared, and I think those qualities would probably be pretty consistently found in all great athletes, you know, that we've seen at the highest level. And so it's something that, yeah, I think a lot of young athletes should absolutely try their best to model and see the inspiration in that.
Mikko, when you're out talking to parents and student athletes, prospective students at George Fox, what do they tell you about is today's age, do they want to play an up-tempo pressure style like you do, or is it all across the board, or is there kind of one style that the players always like to talk about?
Yeah, it varies. I think universally, you know, kids like to play up tempo style. But you know, I think a lot of kids are still very much in the development phase of understanding schematics of the game of basketball, and so I think a lot of times they just think playing fast means you can shoot it, you know, as much as you want, and they don't understand that there's structure to everything, and that no system is easy, and it's very demanding. And so, you know, I think, because there's times, obviously, Greg, we'll be recruiting a kid, and we'll think, oh, this kid is a great fit for our system, and, you know, they may go somewhere else, and we're like, man, I don't know if that's a great fit systematically, and I just don't think kids oftentimes know that. You know, I think it takes a lot of time just being around the game of basketball, being exposed to different systems and the way things are done before you can really truly appreciate where your skill set fits in. And so, I mean, I think universally playing up-tempo is great, but I don't know if there's a really strong reason behind why a student or their families would want them to do that, besides the fact that I think it just looks fun and you can shoot a lot.
Nico, to your credit, you know, we have a tremendous amount of listeners when you come on, and they love to text me. I can't always get to them because I got to watch what I do and ask you on the program, but I got a text just now from Lori, who I do not know, but she obviously texts my number, says she's a huge fan of George Fox basketball, and she said, you addressed this on a previous program, but she'd like for you to do it again, and we did. She said, who do you feel is George Fox's biggest rivalry, or is there one? And she has a second part of that, Banco, is it important to have a rival in a league like the Northwest Conference? Those are two really good questions from Lori, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, I think you know, our university and, you know, really with our athletic programs, I think, you know, there's kind of a natural rivalry with Linfield College. It's, you know, in the same county. It's 15 minutes away. I think it historically has been a rival to our school. I think within our basketball program, you know, both of our basketball programs are programs that are, you know, still kind of in development. And so I think from a basketball standpoint, really for us and where we're at, you know, our biggest rival is typically the teams that are the best. And in our conference, you know, that would be Whitman and Whitworth. And so I think those are the games where, you know, we get probably the biggest fan support. And then obviously those are the ones where your guys are extra excited to try to get a victory against. In terms of the importance of rivalries, you know, I think a lot of coaches will, and you hear this a lot, you know, one game at a time, you know, every game is a rivalry. But the reality of it is we're all emotional human beings, whether we're athletes or coaches, and we can't hide from that. And so I do think rivalries are good. I think it creates a sense of excitement on the campus. I think it is something that, you know, as just athletics brings about, there's a lot of pride involved, whether you look at that as a good thing or a bad thing. A lot of times that characteristic is something that is exhibited in the realm of rivalries. And so being able to kind of act on that and hold that near and dear if you're successful is a positive thing as well. So I think rivalries are good. And I think, you know, obviously when you have a competitive program and you're winning games and, you know, naturally you'll develop, you know, sometimes more rivals than most other places. So that's kind of where we're at. We're hoping that we can kind of get our program to a place where when we're playing teams, it's a rivalry, it's a big game, and it creates a lot of excitement. So hopefully that answers Lori's question. I appreciate her asking and listening to the show.
Yeah, very good question, and it did. Great answer. Mick, I wanted to ask you about, you know, obviously, we know each other and we're friends, but there's a lot of other people that are closer to you, and they always tell me that you're always striving all the time, speaking of coaching, as you did at the top of the show, to become a better coach. Is there maybe one thing that you haven't been able to do that you still want to do that's going to make you a better coach, maybe to go to some clinic or do something in your coaching career that you're really going to work at getting done in the next, say, 1, 2, 3 years?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Greg. I don't know if there's one particular thing that I have kind of like, you know, earmarked that, hey, I got to be able to do this. You know, I think for me, it's, I think the biggest thing for me is just always having, you know, and striving to have great self, you know, perspective. And I think that's really, really important. You know, I will always try a ton of different ways to learn and to grow, but I also want to be able to evaluate myself, you know, with an open mind and with honesty so that I can continue to strive to grow in areas that are, you know, that are weak, if you will. You know, and I know for me, one of the things that I really want to do a better job of, and especially at this level, being a college coach, is just my ability to connect with people is very important. And, you know, for me, that's something that I haven't had to do a whole lot of in my coaching career. So that's something that I'm definitely striving to do a better job of, just being open to that. So that's something that I hope in the next few years I will become more consistent at and more comfortable doing. And I think that'll be, will help me be a, you know, not only a better coach, but a better man as well.
Very good. Let's go back to the Northwest Conference in general. If you were the czar of the Northwest Conference, what's one or two things that you would do? If you had the ultimate power and the complete power, what would you like to do as far as basketball is concerned? If anything, it might be going great for you, but I know every coach always would like to see some things change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess there's one thing that I could really like put my finger on that is something that I've thought about, you know, more than once. You know, I'd love for us to do away with back-to-back games. I think that is, it's a very challenging thing, you know, for all teams. You know, for the athletes, it's tough to physically, it's demanding. You know, mentally, it's very demanding and challenging. And I just think having a day in between games, just to be able to debrief, to recover physically, to kind of move off from the previous game and then refocus to the next game, I just think is really something that would be healthy and beneficial. So that'd be the one thing for sure, you know, that I would definitely try to find a way to positively change if I could.
Great, and I can validate that by the fact that I work in the medical field. I am a non-clinical person, but I certainly have my ear to the ground constantly, and it really isn't healthy to play back-to-back.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, you know, your body needs time to recover. Your muscles need to be able to recover. You need to sleep, and I think what's kind of lost in all of this is, you know, We lose sight of the fact, and I think a lot of times people, oh, these kids are young, you know, whatever. But the reality is it's a very demanding on their bodies. You know, we're failing them with nutrition as college students, period. You know, we deprive them of sleep. And so there's a lot of – those are just two huge factors. And then you take away, you know, other aspects of just being able to properly stretch, to be able to – you know, kind of replenish their bodies, recover their muscles with proteins and things like that. And there's a lot of things that we don't provide for them that would even help make this back-to-back scenario better. And so you factor in all those things on top of the fact that they have to play within a, you know, not even a 24-hour window. It's usually less than that. It's not good for them physically. And you could see it in the play. I mean, I would venture to say that the games on Saturday night aren't probably not as not as great as they are on Friday night, and I think, you know, probably the big reason for it.
That's a very interesting point that doesn't get brought up. The back-to-back stupid that the games on Saturday are not. And you know, I kind of was chuckling when you said that, Baco, because, you know, when I refereed, you know, and I'd have an overtime game, and it naturally didn't happen every week, but it maybe happened once a month, every 6 weeks, where we would go 2-3 overtimes. And I don't think I was probably as good a referee in that third overtime as I was in the second. And I know for sure the players weren't playing as well. And they just were worn out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's tough. I mean, your body can, you know, you can only your body can only do so much, you know, and you want to be 100% as much as you can. But the reality of it is, you know, sometimes the body can't give you that, get you to that point. And when that happens, you're not as effective. There's no question about that.
Mako, I want to close tonight. Number one, quickly, if you could just say how people can get a hold of you the best way at George Fox University, because that comes up every time you're on. Then I've got a good question for you to close out.
Yeah, best way to get a hold of me through email, which you can find on our website. You can just go gfubruins.com, and it takes you right to our athletic page. Or I'm on Twitter at Coach Shark. So either one of those is a great route to communicate with me if the need arises.
Let me ask you, as the great human being that you are, we hear so many bad stories about sports, and that's the minority, but it seems to get the headlines, people in sports, various things. In your mind and in your own thoughts, what's great about sports?
Oh, I think sports is tremendous for a lot of reasons. You know, number one, and these are in no particular order, but I love the fact that it just brings people together. You know, usually, especially in a team, I think it helps with interpersonal communication skills. I think it helps with conflict resolution skills. I think it helps individuals to become selfless. And anytime you can get a group of individuals that can work together for a common goal, I think that's very unique. I think sports is the one particular area in life where it brings out the most competitive juices that we have. And I think when we're at our most competitive peak, a lot of different emotions come out. And I think it can bring out the good and the bad in our character. And so being able to work through those things that are troublesome, or to really recognize those things that are great, are very good for human beings. And it just helps us with a ton of different life skills, from time management to balance to priority to, you know, healthy habits, lifestyle habits, and so on and so forth. I mean, I think sports is a tremendous, tremendous avenue, and I think it's a great thing. Like anything else, you know, we can go overboard with it in terms of, you know, just kind of how much we consume, how selfish we are, and if we, you know, abuse it. But at the same time, when it's done right, when it's done with the right mind frame and the right mindset, there's no question that sports can be a tremendous avenue for young people to really grow and develop skills that are going to help them be great and as they continue on their path in life.
Every time you're on, it's terrific to talk to you, the way you answer questions. And in fairness, we don't talk about the questions in advance, so Mako's hearing them the first time when I throw them out at him, and he does an awesome job with them. And we'll look forward to talking to you the second Wednesday of the month of July, Mako. Have a great time before that, and thanks for being a big part of this Wednesday night program.
My pleasure, Greg. Appreciate you having me on, as always, and I'll look forward to talking to you next month.
You betcha. That's Mako Hamilton. He is the head men's basketball coach at George Fox University in beautiful Newburgh, Oregon, and, of course, they are a member of my conference, the Northwest Conference, and what a great basketball league that is. Both the men and women, get out and see those games this year, no matter where you're located. Good night, everyone. Have a great rest of the month of June. If you just listen to Mako, if not, we'll be on again next Wednesday night with a really terrific guest at 10 o'clock Pacific time. And don't forget to make all your free throws.